It is Wednesday, the 3rd of October, and this is episode 137 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another shiny episode of Digital Outbox. I'm Chris, and as normal, I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
I'm Ian, and it's a Wednesday. What are we doing?
I don't know. Breaking with tradition. And going one out early, which is really a bit weird. But the main reason being that actually I've got a car arriving tomorrow, and I need to go and build it. I'm a bit excited about that.
But you'll be excited for 2 hours.
It's going to take me a lot longer than 2 hours to put it together. You're probably actually right. Two hours of excitement followed by many weekends of disillusionment.
So I've not asked you that. Are you live streaming your build?
Live streaming it? No, I'm not live streaming it.
Oh,
I might be doing something. We'll have to wait and see.
Check in, because that would have been the best bit. Like, you know, like if I'm sitting at night, you know, it's almost midnight and I'm bored and I check in the live stream and there's you and stroking your pistons.
I quite like that idea. I'm going to look into how I can actually live stream it. Maybe put the laptop in there. Get it live streaming out. Okay, maybe I'll look into that. So anyway, my excitement is going to be very much tempered by the fact that our podcast tonight, dear listener, is pretty thin on the ground.
We'll
try and inject some humour, shall we?
I think this could rival me and Shaq's review of the iPhone 3G.
Super excited.
Which was an hour and a half.
Of caressment.
Yeah.
So let's start with an Apple release, actually. They have released a letter. How exciting. Mind you, everyone was hanging on every letter because they told us how wonderful this letter was. It was fabulous paper that they'd spend hours working out, which was the best one. The envelope was really good as well.
I think it was actually the best letter that Apple's ever released.
Yeah, they said sorry. They pretty much apologized for the maps, said really sorry that they weren't up to scratch. We hear you. They're only going to get better over time, effectively, is what they said.
I was hoping you were going to do it in your best Tim Cook. That's why I purposely put the whole text in there.
I can't redo it. I will just ruin the moment. I'm going to maybe practice for next week. It's going to be horribly wrong. But yeah, they've said that... We built the Maps app when we first started, and now we want to make it better. And we effectively, reading between the lines, are saying they can't do that with Google at the moment because they're not willing to work with them or whatever. They've said that the people have already searched for nearly 500 million locations.
And found three.
That's exactly what I thought. 500 million searches, of which half of them found where they were, wanted to be.
That's just typical, like a big tech company. Like put in like some big stat, but how many were successful? We don't measure
how
that
many
metric.
Were the redoing searches based on other criteria. Yes. So they've also told you how to get other maps onto your device, including pinning a bookmark to your homepage, basically.
And also they mentioned like go and get Bing, MapQuest, or Waze, or use Google or Nokia. And I thought fair play. You know, that probably went further than they've done before, and like holding their hands up and saying, look, we made a balls up.
I don't think they did say quite that. They said they're just, okay, it's not as good as it used to be, but it will get better. But they did make a balls up.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Samsung has, countersued back against the iPhone 5 for patents that it reckons have been impinged, and they also said they are going to appeal the $1 billion win that Apple had over them. But it doesn't seem like that's actually damaged them.
No, the interesting part for me wasn't the suing. The suing's just getting dull and boring. it was the chart that showed that week on week as Apple, first of all, wonder case, the Galaxy S3 sales actually week on week grew. So 9% every week since August the 1st.
I mean, it's probably the strongest contender anyway. By far. I guess, all like they say, any publicity is good publicity. especially when it's the best phone on the market, seemingly getting worried about the, you know, the competition that this phone's put in the marketplace.
And I guess a lot of the reviews that talk about iPhone 5 do mention the Galaxy S3.
It's the one that they compare it to. It's immediate go-to. Every single review I've ever seen, that's the only Android handset it seems to compare it to. They certainly don't compare it to a Windows phone.
And I think I think that's why they've probably got the this extra press. It's not just that. I mean, and yes, you could go and troll the internet and go to Gadget and see what the best Android phone is, but common users won't.
And not only that, if someone asked you, what would you say? Say the
S3. iPhone 5.
But if they're asking specifically for an Android, you'd say the S3.
Yeah.
I would.
I was hoping you would say what's the second best phone, and I would have said iPhone 4S.
Actually, my sister's just got her first iPhone and she absolutely loves it. It isn't an iPhone 5, it's just the 4S. But she is in love already. Another one bites the dust.
Yes. And as you said, Samsung have decided that they're going to challenge this 1 billion court loss. So if Apple have went back and said, we want more money because we won. And Samsung have went back and said, actually, the guy that was in charge of the jury, so the foreman, who's his name? Velvin Hogan. He lied. So he didn't tell the truth. So this is all technicality stuff.
Yeah, I think it's more a case that he didn't give full details of something or other, which he was connected with Samsung.
He was sued by Seagate, or he was sued by his former employer, who is Seagate, and Samsung is a direct shareholder in Seagate.
That's such an American thing to have a jury that has a technicality of it.
I mean, it's like out of the movies. out of all the people in America, they've managed to get a foreman who used to work for Samsung indirectly.
But it's still a loose connection, whether that will cut muster. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's quite interesting anyway, I guess. More interesting than just hearing about another. Well, no, it's not, actually. I have to lie, it's just boring. Take that back.
About the most interesting thing in that, is he's called Velvin Hogan. It's purely on his name alone. I would have been suspicious of him. Hi, what's your name? It's Velvin. What?
You can call me Hulk.
Oh, dear me.
O2 and Vodafone. Now, they've seen Orange and T-Mobile get into bed with each other, and they've decided they want a bit of the action. So they're going twos up on their network as well now, basically because I guess they're worried that they need to be able to compete with everything everywhere. So they have decided they will pool all their network together. They're going to remain separate, and be responsible for pumping more sort of bandwidth into the network, but they will both sort of gain the benefits of that.
Very much, and big thanks to Brian. If you remember when we started talking about 4G many moons ago and there was talk of Cornerstone and all that kind of stuff, we did ask Brian a few questions and he came back and said, this will probably happen.
There you go. Insider knowledge.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen that often.
Well, out of the five questions he answers, that was only one, so 20%, right?
It can't... Build him up, knock him down. I guess it makes sense. It makes sense for them all of them to join together on the network side of things, you know, do the network rail thing, have someone looking after the network and then someone else.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah, it didn't work, did it? That's not a good example.
I liked how you were going merrily along there until you mentioned network rail, and I was like, that's fantastic.
What I do worry is that if they are going to start tying together tightly, that means we've actually cut four different operators down into just two, effectively, if that happens. But they're saying it's not going to happen. But then again, T-Mobile and Orange said the same thing. It wasn't going to end up being collaboration, and now it is.
From a regulatory point of view, I'm sure they're just happy that there's two main rivals. As long as there's not one, I'm sure the whoever's in charge, government-wise or policy-wise, will be happy there's at least two and probably three sitting in the background going, there's two.
Hello! don't forget me. But they're doing all right at the moment because of their network.
I'm loving it. If it wasn't for three, the podcast wouldn't have been published last week.
They rescued your ass.
Virgin had an outage. not just like in my street or you know, close by. The whole of Glasgow was out for a day and a half.
They didn't mean to cut that cable.
And so I just hooked up the iPhone, tethered, and was getting, what, 7 meg down, 3 meg up.
It was depressingly, actually, that's better than
and
my
I was
broadband.
Like, and I just thought, you know, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, there you go. And
so for a first,
and that's for a network which prides itself on being a data network. For that very reason, it gets a lot of heavy users because they don't put the limitations on it. So either maybe there's only three people using it or something. I don't know, but they obviously do something right.
Scarily, there's three people within like three desks of me using it now at work.
There you go.
And I mean, over the last week alone, I'm now up at about, I think, 700 or 800 meg.
Wow.
You know, so that's just because I'm using iTunes Match, I'm streaming my music, and it's.
See, if they were O2, they'd hate you. They'd be sending you letters.
If I was O2, they'd be like, you're down after 500 meg. To Shaq, you're down to like 1k a second. We don't cut you off. We just make it totally unusable.
Yeah, it must feel it actually must feel quite good to be able to use your phone as it's supposed to be used.
Absolutely, driving around as well, and it's just all streaming.
Yeah, good stuff.
And the other nice thing is that with the iPhone 5, I was a bit worried about I'd lose my iPod controls. I know this is like really, you know, nobody cares right now, but I do. But I've got my iPod controls in the car, and everybody was saying, oh, the new Lightning connector, it loses it all. It all works.
There you go. Obviously, you've got a suitably advanced car.
No, I'm just lucky.
Just lucky. Yeah, so the O2 and Vodafone touting and basically saying we're going to meet the requirement of the government's sort of super speed network over our mobile network. Ahead of the deadline by doing this, which is all very well. You can have a super speed network for the first 500 megabytes and then you don't have a network left,
basically. Yeah, but I mean, there was this whole thing about 2G, 3G coverage by 2015 and 98% of the population. And I think this is realistically the only way they can get it and do it in an affordable manner.
Yeah, I'd say it makes sense. I just hope three don't get lost along the way because, say, we do need some competition there to keep things ticking along. But the 4G timetable has now been agreed between, and actually it's going to be 6 months ahead of schedule. So hopefully they're going to launch in spring 2013. So not very far away.
No, and I guess this was all like the government saying they brokered a deal and Ofcom saying they brokered a deal. But basically the rollout of Freeview, you know, rollout to the digital switchover worked far smoother than everybody imagined. So although the auction's still going to take place end of this year, start of next year, they believe they can get all the regulatory approval and also get the hardware out there a lot quicker than they envisioned. So that's what's brought it forward more than anything.
And I guess it helps the fact that, you know, Everything Everywhere are already doing it and Vodafone are also hoping to get well ahead of the game on that. So they'll be ready to go as soon as. So it's kind of one of the things that's been hanging around, not nothing's happening for ages and ages and ages, and now it looks like everything's happening all at once.
And it was interesting, I saw an article that said we were miles behind so many countries when it came to 4G, but we've now probably got one of the most aggressive rollouts in the world, you know, taking us from nothing to, you know, like a some like 60, 70, 80% coverage by middle of next year.
I just wonder whether we're trailing behind. I don't know what the next thing beyond 4G is and whether that's coming along soon and we're going to miss out on that. Because again, they'll be spending so much money on this rollout that they won't want to do the next thing.
One other thing that bubbled up was, what's Balls, his name? That's his name, Labour guy. So he was Ed Balls, that was it. He was talking about that he's going to fund a whole load of house building, social house building project, all off the back of the 4G auction. But if you looked at it, that's him assuming he's going to get the 20 billion that they got for the 3G. Reckon they're going to get about 4 or 3 billion.
Did 3G ever make their money back? I don't know whether there's any stats on that. It didn't look likely at one point.
No. And that's the problem. If you look at that particular auction, for whatever reason,
it was just overpriced.
It was a bubble.
Yeah, they thought
it was crazy, and it's not. This isn't going to be the case with 4G.
No, because everyone has got a 3G is a relatively fast data network, you know, up to recent standards, and I guess everyone's used to having that, and so 4G is just a nice to have extra. It's almost like getting your your fiber when you've already got, you know, 20 meg unbundled.
Exactly. It'll be interesting when the government was talking about, you know, everybody having a 2 meg connection by 2015 and you're sitting looking at 3G sitting at like 7 meg.
Yeah, you know, for people in the middle of town on a good network.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on a crap phone in the middle of nowhere. I've got to stop going on about that. Anyway. Right.
No, because you're going to start talking about it in the next article as well.
True. Because EE have they've given a date that they're going to release their are they calling it a beta? I'm not sure. Their early launch,
no.
Anyway.
No, it's just going to be, it's just 4G.
4G, but only in launch cities. So we are talking in Birmingham, Leeds, Bristol, Liverpool, Cardiff, Birmingham. London. I should be doing this in regional accents, but I'm not going to. Edinburgh, Manchester, Sheffield, and also Glasgow.
You see Christmas. No.
Oh, no, by the 30th.
Yeah. So 4G will be launched October 30th in these 10 cities. Another and six, then, Belfast, yeah. Derby, Hull, Newcastle, Nottingham and Southampton. Why by Southampton? Christmas. By Christmas.
Why Hull? No one can afford something there.
Ouch.
Worst place to live in the world, in the country officially.
Well, I looked at it and said, why Liverpool? But they'll just nick all the handsets and use them. So it's shocking.
Uh-oh. no price is released yet. I've gone very red. No price is released yet. So, unsurprisingly, do you think it's going to shock us when we actually find the price of these things?
It's going to be more expensive. I mean,
we reckon? Do we want to put a digital outbox prediction down?
Well, I guess, I mean, from the EE site, you can see they're talking about 18 or 24 month contracts. And they said it will be more expensive than 3G. The big debate for me is not so much the cost, but the throttling. Will they turn around and say you can get a fast network, but it's 500 meg? And like, so instantly pointless for what most folk are wanting to use.
I reckon contracts are going to be 2 years, £45 minimum over that 2 years.
And it's funny, I was going to say 40, 45 as well. That's the kind of figure I've got in my head.
Yeah, because it's kind of within the realms of what we already pay, but just that more. But I, like you, would be surprised. And I don't know if the network works differently. I don't know whether data rates and data amounts actually affect it as much as they do something like 3G. That's technical knowledge I don't know, whether it's got so much free capacity that actually it's not going to make a difference.
And I guess the issue is probably what Brian had brought up with us. It's not the kind of the bandwidth from each mast or whatever. It's the actual kind of fiber network. Has it got enough capacity? You know, just say there's like 10,000 people sign up in Glasgow and instantly get 40 meg downloads, and it's unlimited. Have they got the capacity to cope with that instant demand? I've no idea. Those are the kind of things that just start to boggle my mind.
I predict, £45. I think we're going to see something like, I don't know, a gigabyte bandwidth. There you go. That's my prediction. So, that's what I reckon.
And I guess I think it'll be a couple of weeks before we actually see prices or plans. I mean, it's 30th October. I guess we're going to start to see it drip fed over the next couple of weeks.
It's not long, is it? You have to get people on board. But everyone, I guess the people who are interested are going to be looking out for this, so they don't have to work too hard.
No, and there's five phones that are going to be available, so the iPhone 5. Interestingly, the Galaxy S3, but it's the LTE edition, not just any old handset that's already out there, which I'm sure a lot of people don't realise.
Yeah, because the Galaxy S3, yeah, it was weird in that there's been about three different models of the S3.
Yep, there's the HTC's One XL, the Huawei Ascend P1, Samsung Galaxy Note 2, which is their new Galaxy kind of phablet that's coming out on the 15th of October. And then there's a mobile dongle from Huawei.
I don't know what it is.
No.
Shall we say that? That is its official name is Yugo. You're not going to do it again.
I'm just going to look at you and go, what? I go Hawaii and you go
Huey, but I don't know how to say it. Okay, give up. Reverse. Let's back away from that one.
Would you buy it £45 a month?
No, because I don't have... I don't know. No. No.
Right, let's move on then.
app.net. We, as Digital Outbox, continue to push the beacon of app.net, the alternative to Twitter.
Come on, let's be honest. I'm pushing it and you're sitting there laughing at me.
Maybe. Yeah. I've got 20,000 users now.
Because if Digital Outbox was pushing it, we would have signed up for an account as well.
They're going to drop the price to try and attract more people in. So basically $5 a month now, so it cuts it yearly cost from $50 to $36. Developers still have to pay for the API access. But they have announced that they're going to be offering money rewards for developers who make successful third-party apps using the service. It says there's a fund of $20,000. I don't know whether that's per month, and I don't know whether that's split across a number of different applications or whether
it is per month because it says in the notes. And sorry, what a bitch. but it is split, and it's and users voting it as well. So it's not just app.net themselves deciding that, by the way, this is a fantastic client. It's all about the users will participate in votes to understand what is the best and most innovative use of client.
If everyone collaborates together, all the 20,000 users there so far, they'll get $1 each.
Fantastic. Does that mean we could almost buy back our investment?
Over 36 months, you could actually get your cost of your... In fact, no, it'd be 100 months.
So I wrote down underwhelming. And I do use app.net. I use it infrequently, got to be honest. I found even the clients that have come out. I guess that there was one out last week that was the best so far for me by far, and it was called Felix. It was a really nice client on the iPhone. And it does need that kind of a decent client to make it usable.
And maybe Tapbots is going to be one for you?
We'll come on to that. The only thing I was going to say before moving on, that price drop wouldn't make a difference to you, would it? And that's why I wrote underwhelming. I just think it's like, well, so what?
I don't know. I mean, it's coming into the... Because does that then relate? That's about, what is it, 10, 12 pounds a year, something like that? I guess that's coming into the realms of £1 a month.
It's getting to 20 quid, isn't it? $36 is about 20 quid.
All right. So it's starting to become insubstantial, but... There has to be a reason for me to go there, and there ain't a reason for me to go there, basically. Go on, talk us through NetBot. Is it out yet, or is it on its way?
So this was a big surprise today after my drugged up stupor this afternoon. I had a migraine, and off the back of that, I was kind of like...
You had a migraine and were shooting up as well.
I'm a Glaswegian. I can't deny it. After slagging off all those other people, I can't. And I've got like a set of three toes sitting on top of my TV. And if you didn't watch that Ross Kemp program, you have no idea what I'm talking
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely no idea. There you go.
So Tapbots, the developers of Tweetbot, which is probably the number one third-party client for Twitter.
We love.
And that's on Mac and iOS. They have released NetBot, which is basically the same client. Instead of blue, it's black. It's almost like the black evil version of
the darker brother.
This is basically an iPhone and iPad client. It's two separate apps. So I'm sure somebody will moan about the fact I haven't buy it twice, because I remember when the iPad version came out, people were like, what, I have to buy it again? But it's fantastic. It blows all the other apps that the developers were rushing to get out of the water.
So effectively, it's Tweetbot, but for app.net.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's, what more do you want?
And instantly, it felt at home. Instantly, it was a really fast, decent client. It had all the great gesture support, had all the searching. And one little thing that I do think is going to be controversial, it allowed you to cross-post. So Twitter doesn't allow you to cross-post from... You can't mix the streams. So that's one of their limitations.
And cross the streams.
That you can't... Because some people were saying it would be great if there was a client came out that you could see... content from both at the same time. So I'm just going through my timeline and seeing the same, seeing a mixture of content. And Twitter said, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. We will not allow anybody to use our API and release an app that does that. But what Tweetbot's doing, NetBot's doing, is you can, once you've set up your Twitter accounts in iOS, you can select it and say, actually cross-post this one. I don't like cross-posting, and I feel guilty. I kind of cross-post by putting my Twitter feed into Facebook.
I think most people do it. I mean, it just means that you... I don't know. I don't mind it too much anymore.
Reason,
I used to hate it.
The reason I don't mind it too much is my Facebook kind of folk are really... It's a small amount and it's totally different to Twitter. Whereas Twitter and app.net, there's quite a lot of commonality, so I wouldn't cross-post.
I don't have to worry about that. I don't have very many followers, so it's fine.
But it was interestingly, today, Netbox released was what a shot in the arm, because the global feed used to be able to go into the global feed and see maybe like 10, 20 posts per minute, so you could actually spin through it. It was like 100, 150 posts
per
minute.
So it's actually made such a big difference. Oh, yeah.
Well, a whole lot of people were like, finally.
So actually all those posts going out was just saying, yes, we've got a client.
It was. It was like my first post from Netbox.
That's good to see. I'm glad for the 20,000 people.
And they're saying they're, I think, was it, I'm trying to remember the figure. Was it 300 new users per hour over the last couple of days just from the new press that's coming out and the drop in price? So
it's a paid for service, that's pretty good.
I don't think it's never going to get Twitter size, but I think there is going to be a decent sized community in there.
It depends whether Twitter keep going down a route where, I mean, so far the route that Twitter have gone down hasn't affected your everyday user really. No. But one day it will. Something will come along and the user base will bite back.
Yes.
So Cowell's getting his sweaty mitts on the technology world. It's Simon Cowell.
You should do this story because you do love X Factor.
I do love X Factor. I'm not sure I'd love X Factor for technology geeks, which is pretty much what's being proposed. They're trying to get young technology entrepreneurs.
I can see you on this somehow.
I don't think so. And it's Simon Cowell and Will.i.am.
I can see Will.i.am being your kind of like your kind of celebrity judge, coach kind of person. Saying, come on, Chris, let's get this new version out there.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, come on. Let's go.
You know, you'll be buying your Red Bull so you can crank through the code at night.
I mean, to be honest, you can just see what's going through their minds, which is, everyone's making loads of money in the tech world now. Let's go and get some of that. So that's exactly what they're thinking. But how can you turn that into a 24-hour coding session? See what you come up with each week. And they have stylists to make them look more and more nerdy.
I just think I'm a little bit dubious because it's the Sun that was reporting this originally. Right. And it involved, as you said, Will.i.am. I mean, he is a complete tosser. I was going to say something far worse, but leave it at that. And I look at things like The Apprentice and it's the amount of folk that sit and go, ha 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 ha, what a bunch of idiots.
I mean, like, that's quite a good point, actually, that if you describe The Apprentice ahead of time, which is a job interview, spread done in the competition form, it doesn't really sound that interesting, but it has got interest. I quite like The Apprentice.
But it's interesting from the reality point of view. If you were a guy running a business, you wouldn't take any of these guys on. You'd be like,
I hope so. It's hard to say, isn't it? Sometimes you get your hoodwinked. Anyway, so there you go. They're making their mind up, whether it's a good idea. That's what it seems. I think it's a bad idea. There you go. I'll put my 2 pence in. And for all the quality content that we've covered, that is all we've got for you this week.
Fantastic. Best thing ever.
It's amazing. So have you got any picks? I haven't got a pick.
Yeah, Netbot.
Okay, there you go. Go get Netbot. Go sign up for app.net. See what, and follow Shreeper.
Remember, Ian Dick, I'm not a Shreeper. It's controversial. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing was on that Felix client that I mentioned earlier on for app.net, and it was on a review, 1 star. Not only do I have to pay for an app, but I have to pay for the service. This is disgusting. And it's like,
this is just rinsing me of money.
It was just the words, this is disgusting. I have to pay for things. This is disgusting.
There you go. That's what they're up against. Anywho, so that is the end of our podcast. You can find out more about us and what we do at digitaloutbox.com. You can talk to us using email info@digitaloutbox. You can Twitter and Skype us on Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian, where do we find you?
Twitter is Shreeper, blog is ind.net. And I've just remembered one thing.
Ooh.
I can't remember if we did this in the podcast or if it was one of the rambles afterwards and we talked about iMessage, and it would be great if it was intelligent enough to, like, if I'm on the iPhone and you ping me an iMessage, that's the only client that pings. it doesn't ping everything. And the updates that came out last week, that's how it works. It's magical. It is the best thing ever. So if I'm using iMessage on my iMac right now and you ping me an iMessage, although the clients on the iPad and the iPhone are in sync and the message is there, I don't get an audio notification because it only notifies me on the client that's live.
What if you're logged in at the computer and you're on the toilet? Then how will you ever know that a message has come in?
Because if I'm on the toilet, I've got my iPhone with me.
But that might not be logged into the iMessages.
But it is. It knows.
How does it know?
I don't know, but it works. I've tried it. it wasn't with the toilet I tried it.
Okay.
But through some fantastic experimentation, it actually works. And it's like, that is the best thing ever.
There you go.
So instead of just getting like the unintelligent, everything gets notified as previously, you're getting a only notify you on the client that you're currently on.
I have to say, Google Hangouts is pretty spectacular when you're when you've got everything doing push notifications on that. Everything goes off. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Text messages, all sorts of things go on. It's amazing.
It is, and I can't believe it. It's because usually I send you the Hangout invite, but the one week you did it to me, I was like,
whoa, what's going on? You certainly can't miss
15 alerts. By the way, Chris wants to talk to you.
I might as well put, actually, while we're rambling a little bit, I should say that if you want to follow my build, it will be on academyracer.co.uk. So take a look there over the next coming weeks, because I might not be on the podcast, but you might see me in a garage. And I will have a look about how, if I can live broadcast anything, that'd be ridiculous.
In fact, the next few podcasts might just be like, it might just be like a video podcast of just the selected minutes of Chris like tantruming in his garage.
Throwing bits of car left, right and centre. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be with you again next week, and we will talk at you then. See you then. Bye.
Bye. You know what I love?
What's that?
We had crap all to talk about and it's 32 minutes gone.
Yep. Never get them back.